Joel Ostro joins us now on WGN. Hi, Joel. Welcome back.
Good morning, John.
Things in Ukraine did not get any easier, and it sounds like the Russians are loading up for the southeastern part of the country. They're not leaving Lviv alone, though. What are your thoughts about what's happened over the weekend and what's happening today?
First and foremost, I'm so frustrated. Well, I guess we should start out. A lot of the reporting has been tremendous from Ukraine. The U.S. reporters, particularly a number from CNN, so courageous and just doing great work, relentless. Russia for 6 weeks has been firing missiles at apartment buildings, hospitals, preschools, much of it enabled by a warship camped out in the Black Sea. Ukraine destroys that warship. And now we're describing what Russia's doing as retaliating. It's just insane. Russia's committing war crimes on a daily basis. When the people against whom those crimes are being committed defend themselves, Russia's subsequent actions aren't retaliation. It's the continuation of those crimes. And we see that this morning with, missile strikes at residential areas in Lviv, less than a mile from the home of a dear colleague and friend who I met at a conference last week. It goes on and on. As terrific as the Western response has been, it needs to be ramped up.
Well, I want to ask you about that, Joel. One of the troubling things that I saw over the weekend was Vladimir Putin saying about the delivery of weapons and materials to Ukraine by the United States, the United Kingdom, that the interception of those deliveries could have unfortunate consequences. I've wondered when the Russians were going to begin to equate our arming the Ukraine is our being involved in the war more directly. And it sounds like he's hinting a little bit at that. What was your read on that?
He continually threatens the West. He continually tries to undermine our unity. But there has to be a strong response to this. This is not just an attempt to seize a couple of territories in Ukraine. This is an attempt to wipe out the Ukrainian people. And mass atrocities on a scale that Europe, looks like it might even exceed what happened in Bosnia, but certainly for the last 30 years, Europe hasn't seen anything like this, and maybe much longer. There's no choice but to respond. This is a threat, and if Russia gets away with this, then Russia becomes a greater threat, to our closer allies, the more core of our alliance of the democracies of the West.
So I understand, and I want to pause here, Joel. We're going to update our listeners on WGN Radio News. Come back after the news and just answer one more question or two for me, including how realistic do you think the threat is of limited nuclear weapons in a specific theater? What do you think about the possibility of that? We'll pick the conversation up after WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's next. 219 sent us this note. John Williams, I met a Russian at the O'Hare cell phone lot the other day. He lived in Chicago. He noticed I had a Ukrainian flag on my minivan. He asked me if I was Ukrainian. I said that I had empathy for the Ukrainian people. He told me he was Russian and that overall the Russian people were good people. He said just because Russian leadership wasn't acting well doesn't mean Russia is a bad country. He said the Russian people and army were suffering too. I said if it weren't for Russia invading Ukraine, the Russian people wouldn't be suffering. He got quiet and then said the suffering of the Russian people and the army was a lot worse than the news was reporting. It's an interesting exchange. At some point, this reflects on the people of Russia. And if nothing else, this war in Ukraine is going to make lasting and for a long time our impression of that country, that people, our willingness to do trade there, our willingness to buy products and services from businesses that trade there. We're not going to be able to dodge it completely, and maybe in time this will all be healed, but boy, not anytime soon. Joel Ostro is joining us. He's from Benedictine University and has been following the scene over there for some time. Joel, just before the break, I asked you, you may want to comment on that exchange in the parking lot at O'Hare. What do you think about that?
It better not be anytime soon. 100%, John, it better not be anytime soon. And the other part of it is, too bad, so sad. It's Russian soldiers who are committing these atrocities every single day. It's the Russian military. It's Russian commanders who are carrying out the orders from the Kremlin. Whether or not they're brainwashing the propaganda or not, they're there. Those soldiers are the ones who can see what they're doing, see what's happening. The propaganda doesn't get to them. They can see what's going on. They can see what they're doing, and they're committing those atrocities. Zero sympathy. Zero.
Well, that's such an interesting point. I mean, I think the sympathy lies in, well, the people are pawns of the Russian control of the media, but the soldiers aren't. They're the ones doing
correct.
It.
And the generals commanding them are not.
I saw an interesting story about the fact that so many Russian generals died in the first couple of weeks. 4 Russian generals died, and you don't normally hear of generals dying in combat, but they said one of the reasons that the Russian generals are exposed and dying in combat itself is because their military operates so inefficiently. The soldiers on the ground are afraid to make decisions, and it goes all the way up to the chain of the command, and nobody wants to be held responsible for a bad choice. So the generals have to decide. Therefore, the generals have to be on the front, and then they get killed. It's just another reminder that, not that you wish that the Russian army was better at it, but they're so bad at this that the war drags on. Now all they know to do is try and pound Ukraine into submission, and even their generals are dying in the process. So what do you make then of Putin's threats or blusterings about using tactical nuclear weapons?
Well, the first part of that, I can be very brief, is the difference between a military under a dictatorship and a military under a free country. We don't need to put our commanders, our generals in the field like that. Regarding the other point, you're asking about the Putin's blustering about using nuclear weapons and reporting about that. And I want to be careful how I say this. It's a question that you have to ask, given your show's format and what you do. It gives me the opportunity to make the same point I made to open earlier when we were talking. Those are words from Vladimir Putin. Those are words coming out of the Kremlin. If it's coming out of Putin's mouth, if it's coming out of the Kremlin's propaganda, it's lies, it's disinformation meant to weaken our resolve, to disorient us, to scare us, to cower us. We should be focusing more on the truth, on the transparent information coming out of a country that just wants to be free, from Zelensky, who's calling on the West to strengthen its response, to provide more arms to Ukraine, to cut off the flow of petroleum to Europe, and calling on Germany and Austria in particular to stop funding Putin's war. It won't be a panacea. It won't stop altogether, but it'll cause more pain. That's my response.
Yeah.
It is disinformation. Putin does not want us to launch an all-out nuclear attack on Russia, right? They don't want to use tactical nuclear weapons in the field that will expose their own soldiers to the horrors of radioactive bomb. So
I take your point, Joel. One last thing, and then we'll go and have another conversation another day. Zelensky said last night that the $800 million is not enough, that we need to commit even more.
I think, sure, because this war is going to go on a long time, and because of the devastating tactics that the Russian military is using. We saw another convoy of Russian vehicles when they were reorienting towards the east. I don't know if that convoy is still lined up the way it was. It's a travesty that Ukraine doesn't have the ability to wipe those out when they're standing right now. So
no
they still
kidding.
Don't have enough.
Yeah.
But the biggest contribution we can make is to stop giving money to Russia for its oil and gas. And it's not the United States doing it, and we are pressuring Europe, but the pressure has to be on Germany. I was at a conference of several thousand students last week and urged them to do as my generation did relating to the apartheid regime in South Africa, to occupy the buildings of administrative offices, of Board of Trustees meetings, demand disinvestment from any company doing business with any company buying oil from Russia, and that includes German entities that are doing it. We should be disinvesting from those companies to put maximum pressure.
Joel, I'll talk to you later this week. Thanks for your thoughts and insight.
Thanks so much, John.
Joel Ostrow from Benedictine University, 1118.